Hey, it's Patrice K. Coakley of the Baseline Group, and you're listening to the Jazz Spotlight with Jan Ilunga.
Episode 61.
Welcome to the Jazz Spotlight, the podcast that gives you the insight and tools you need to be in the music industry today. Artists, authors, and top music industry experts give you actionable tips that will help you promote yourself the smart way. Here's your host, Jan Ilunga.
Hey everybody, what's up? Jan Ilunga here from thejazzspotlight.com with the 61st episode of the Jazz Spotlight podcast. Super, super, super stoked about today's episode. And first of all, thank you for being here. I really appreciate you tuning in, and I'm sure you're gonna love this episode. And today, or actually this week, it's kind of a fan base week here at the podcast, because today and on Thursday, we're gonna talk about your fan base. You know, fan base, obviously, it's something that is really critical for the career of a musician, no matter what genre you're playing, no matter for how many years you've been playing, or if you're starting out, you need an audience, you want to have fans. And who doesn't want to have fans, right? So that's exactly what we're going to talk about today and on Thursday. Today we talk about how to build a fan base. So whether you're starting out and you're thinking about starting your career in the music industry, or you've been performing as an independent artist, or even if you're signed to a label for quite some time, this episode is for each and every one of you. My guest today is the founder of the Baseline Group, a company that is all about branding and digital marketing. So we're going to hear more about that. And I'm super, super excited to have Patrice K. Coakley today here on the podcast, who's going to tell us more, as I said, about the Baseline Group. And she's going to talk about how to build an audience. So really from the start, the process of building a fan base. So what to think about. And she's going to share also some tips for those who already have an audience. So for kind of growing your fan base. Like always, you find the links to everything Patrice and I talk about in this episode at thejazzspotlight.com/episode61. Without further ado, here is How to Build a Fan Base with Patrice K. Coakley. Have fun. Hey everyone, I'm here for another great episode, and I'm sure many of you are gonna love this one because we're gonna talk about something that everyone needs, right? We're gonna talk about fans, and who doesn't need fans? I mean, seriously. And we're gonna talk about fan engagement and kind of how to build a fan base, and we're gonna get some great tips from an incredible guest. My guest today is Patrice K. Coakley, the founder of the Baseline Group, a company that works on developing marketing strategies, brand management, and much, much more. I can't wait to hear from her. So let's introduce Patrice. Hey, Patrice, how's it going?
It's going great, Jan. How are you?
I'm fine. A bit of a cold weather, but you know, the Jazz Spotlight definitely helps to forget the bad weather. What about yourself?
Oh, same here. This interview, Baseline, all of that is making it pretty warm out here in Chicago.
Awesome. And guys, I hope this episode is gonna bring some light also to your day, a little bit of sunshine in case you're somewhere where it's cold, like here in Finland, or probably also there in Chicago. And Patrice, I mentioned the Baseline Group, so your company, you're the founder of that company, and I mentioned that you work on branding, brand development and marketing strategies. But can you tell the listeners a little bit more about the Baseline Group?
Yes, the Baseline Group actually started. I developed the company last year. Actually, I've been doing this for about 7 years, and I decided to really focus on a particular segment of that actually needed help. I saw a lot of artists and entertainers and creative people. They were so consumed by their work and their art, and they neglected to think about ways that they can develop themselves into a brand to mm-hmm. to attract awareness to their work, and as well as getting out there and marketing their product. So I said, you know, let me just go ahead and focus on that particular area. And that's how Baseline came about. And that's pretty much what we do. We help artists and creatives, as well as just the general entrepreneurs and small businesses as well, with developing their brand that resonates with their core audience. We also help with marketing strategy, coming up with different ways that where they can attract awareness as well as build their clientele. And we also do some management. We do some artist management, social media management, as well as project management. So we try to help our clients in more of a 360 holistic type of way, so that everything pretty much syncs and is consistent with their brand and what they represent.
I love it. And obviously, I'm sorry.
No, I just said thank you.
You're very welcome. No, and you really stressed it that for many artists, creative people, you know, the kind of business side of their career, being branding, marketing, social media marketing, can be, you know, overwhelming, whether because they don't know how to do it or they don't have the time. And this is kind of something Dwayne Eubanks talked about in episode 60, where he talked about kind of, you know, he's a musician, but he also talked about how important it is being a musician today to know the business aspect of your career, at least the fundamentals. Obviously, you know, companies like the Baseline Group can really take your marketing and branding efforts to the next level, but it's important to know the basis. And that's something that Patrice and I are going to do today. We're going to try to help you understand at least the basics of, you know, fan engagement and how to build a fan base. Whether you're starting out or if you've been a musician for 20 plus years, there's still going to be some great valuable tips here for you. So Patrice, the first question I have to ask you, obviously, you know, everyone wants to have fans. It's something that also musicians are really passionate about, because I mean, who doesn't want to have fans, right?
Right.
So the first question is kind of, you know, obvious, but, you know, what do you think is the first thing musicians should think about when they think about building a fan base?
Well, the first thing they should think about is, who is it that they're trying to target? Who is their artwork, their music, whatever it is that they're creating? The goal should be is to really identify who it is that you're trying to attract. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people fail to do that. They fail to look at, they want to target everybody. They want to say, oh, my music, my art goes to everybody. And no, it doesn't. I mean, what I may like and listen to, my mom may not like or listen to, as well as my grandmother and aunts and uncles. We all like different things. So it's very important to really focus on who it is that you want to target, and then pretty much go from there. Be where they're at. Go where they like to shop and communicate and hang out and attract those people in their environment. So I would say that's one thing that a lot of people fail to do, is to really reach out to those that they're truly trying to target.
And I think, you know, you really touched on an important point also, for the fact that, you know, already when you have identified your target audience, already that is kind of challenging. It's very time consuming. It takes a lot of energy and hard work. So it's not something that it's easy. And I think it's better, like Patrice said, to really try to think about who you want to reach and build from there. It's better that you start kind of small and then mm-hmm. you build your way out toward, for example, other genres or other, you know, people. For example, let's say if you're targeting, I don't know, people in their 20s, it's fine. Start from there and then try to expand, for example, to people in their 30s, teenagers, something like that. It's great tip. And is there maybe something else that comes to mind that you think helps in terms of, you know, kind of planning the process of building a fan base?
Well, I would also say when you build a fan base, is not only, just to add on to what I had stated before and what you had just stated, is when you really start segmenting that group really get into their headspace, get into their mindset and see what it is that they like and they do. And I feel that a lot of people don't do that because they're so consumed in what they do and what they like. And it's kind of defeats the purpose, because you want to attract people that's actually going to patronize your business and purchase your work. So like you mentioned, if you're targeting someone that's in their 20s, why not tap into the college market? Mm-hmm. You know, why not seek out people that could be your brand ambassador at colleges or universities? If you're targeting the 30-year-olds and whatnot, where do those people hang out? And even within the 30-year-old segment, even 30-year-olds, they each person like different things. So you really have to narrow it down and start small. And those people they'll become your spokesperson and share your work with their friends and whatnot. So it's always important to start small and then let it grow from there.
I love it. I love it. So happy to have you here already. In the first 5-7 minutes, already saw so much value. Loving this. And is there some artist that you have seen that you think could be a good example for the audience to follow? Someone that you know did something that you were really like, whoa, that's so cool, in terms of building a fan base or maybe raise the engagement of the fan base?
Yeah. One artist that I'm working with now, and I'm not saying this because I'm working with him, but his fan base is what attracted me to him and how he developed it. His name is Marcus A. Brown. You can find him at www.themabexperience.com. And what I absolutely love about him is that he's a recording artist. He's also a videographer, photographer, and a blogger, but he used his music and his passion for this movement called MGTOW, MGTOW, which stands for Men Going Their Own Way. That it's a belief. It's something that he believes in. He believes in men empowerment. Basically, that's what it pretty much sums up in what it really is. And he used that. He became a voice of this particular movement, and he was able to develop a fan base based on his interest in that movement. So all of his music is directed somewhat towards that movement. His content, everything. And it's just amazing that he's now become like the spokesperson of this group, and his fan base is amazing. And I pretty much came to him and asked him, like, what is it that you really want to do with this? Because a lot of people are following you. They like your views. They like what you stand for and what you represent, but yet you're so talented. So I pretty much helped him develop his brand that resonated with that audience. So I love the fact that he just didn't say, you know, I want to target men, because he has a lot of women following him as well. He do. Because if you're talking about men empowerment, of course, you're going to have a few females coming in there arguing their point, too. So he developed a way that he incorporated his interest, his personal interest, into his art. And that's what helped him develop his brand and build his fan base. And I love it. I love it. He's doing an excellent job at that.
Interesting. Thanks for sharing this. And guys, make sure to check it out. And like always, you find the links to everything Patrice and I talk about in the show notes. So in case you missed the link of the website, don't worry, no need to rewind. You're going to find everything in the show notes. Okay, let's talk a little bit about tools, because I'm really passionate about online marketing, obviously, because I have a background in communication. And I know that when it comes to promotion, especially, everyone wants the tool, right? To promote, to kind of crack the codes, the code of, you know, promotion success and marketing success. So in terms of building a fan base and maybe also growing a fan base, what are the tools that come to your mind that you maybe kind of consider the must-haves?
I would say the must-haves, if we're speaking of like electronic digital type of tools, I would say definitely some sort of email capture type of tool. I personally like MailChimp, but there's a lot of people that use Constant Contact. That's a good one as well. But I like MailChimp because you can get so many email addresses within your list for free. I think it's $2,500 or so. So that's a good place to start, to actually start developing your email list. And as well as social media, because you nowadays, even though it's very content and media driven, a lot of people still want to check in on you and see what you're doing and what your day to day is like, who you are as a person. So when it comes to building that fan base, I would say use the social media platforms such as your Instagram and Twitter and whatnot to build those relationships with those that are following you, because they want to know what's going on and whatnot, and as well as interacting with them and engaging with them on those platforms. But also using the email list just in case Facebook and Twitter decide to shut down tomorrow. You still want to have this person's email address, so that way you can continue to promote and let them know what's going on, your appearances, any shows you have, or any new merch that you're trying to sell and push, things of that nature. So definitely email and social media, I would say, will be the top two.
Okay, love it. And, you know, especially for the second part, when you talked about the email list, we talked about this in the past, for example, episode 57 with Ariel Hyatt, where we talked about exactly how to launch and manage a successful email list. And that's really important, like Patrice said, you know, in case something happens with social media, or even if you just think, for example, about Facebook, that, you know, if you have a fan page or a band page on Facebook, if you have, let's say, 1,000 likes and you post something, the post is not gonna reach all the people. You have to boost the post, so to pay in order to reach everyone. So it's kind of becoming more and more difficult to reach more people. But if you have your email list, you really have the power to do pretty much whatever you like. And Patrice mentioned a couple of services. So she mentioned MailChimp, Constant Contact, two great services. I use Aweber, but, you know, All of them are really popular ones. And in terms of features, there aren't that big many differences. So guys, you can check the three out and see which one you prefer. But I love those tips. And when you talked about social media, you know, for me, I talked about this also with Dwayne Eubanks on episode 60. I mentioned Twitter because I think that especially in the music industry and in jazz, in the jazz industry, it's still really underutilized, and it's really a dynamic social media. It doesn't have kind of as many walls as Facebook. And I follow you on Twitter, obviously, at Patrice K. Cockley, and then there is at the Baseline GRP for the Baseline Group. And I want to ask you for a couple of tips about Twitter promotion, and especially about promoting oneself without being spammy, because I'm sure you see it as well. There are so many artists that for sure they have good intentions, or at least some of them, and they try to promote, let's say, their new song, but they do it in a very spammy way by sending the exact same tweet to hundreds and hundreds of people only by changing the Twitter name of the person they are addressing in their tweet. So do you have some tips in terms of how to promote oneself on Twitter without being too spammy?
Right, for sure. And I want to just say that Twitter is my absolute favorite social network out of all of them. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love Twitter because it's you're like you said, with Facebook, you post something and out of that 1,000, maybe 5 or 6 people will see it. Whereas with Twitter, even though it's fast paced, there's not a lot of barriers up. And not only that, it's quick. It prevents you from rambling. You know, you got to get everything right to the point and keep it moving. So I absolutely love Twitter for that reason. I get a lot of spam all the time. Even when I created the Baseline GRP on there, it was crazy. And it's like, these people don't even know me. They don't they don't know how connected I am. I could be some fraud or something. They don't know, you know. And it's like, I'm getting all this information. It's like, come on now, let's stop. Don't spam. It's what people need to realize is that we need to get back to being social on social media, where right now everyone's focused on media and not the social. And this is something that I have another interview tomorrow, and we're going to be talking about this in a little more detail. But I'm looking for people to get more social. Why don't you ask me what I do? Let's engage in a conversation. Talk to people. When you have a trending topic, don't be afraid to jump into that conversation. I've gotten so many likes just from me expressing my opinion on something that's trending on Twitter. And once you develop that relationship with these people, then let them know that you do music. Here's my link. Check it out. And then also, after you send them that link, don't follow up with, oh, did you listen to it? Did you listen to it? What you think? No, continue building that rapport with them. Continue engaging in the conversation just like you would with anyone offline. You know, it's kind of like dating in a sense. You know, you want to get to know people on a more personal level and talk to them. You just don't want to jump and go get married tomorrow. You have to develop that relationship with them, that personal connection. So with Twitter, don't spam. Actually engage in the conversation with people, engage in different trending topics, and slide your music in there wherever you see best fit.
I love it. And so, guys, remember that Twitter is not Las Vegas. So if you want to get married quickly, no. But seriously, though, I love your tip. And, can you elaborate more on what a trending topic is in case some listeners are maybe just starting out with Twitter and they don't know about it? I think it's a great tip that you share. But can you tell the listeners a couple of words on the trending topic?
Yeah, a trending topic is a particular topic that's going on in the world. That a lot of people on Twitter are talking about. So they'll use a hashtag. That way you can, if you click on the hashtag, which is the word with the pound sign in front of it, if you click on it, it'll show all the tweets where people are mentioning that word or that hashtag within their tweet. So when something is trending, it'll come up in the trending section. And it's just something that's being heavily talked about at that time. A good example is when Scandal is on. When that TV show is on, Twitter is all about Scandal. So you'll see a lot of people talking about the TV show. So therefore, that hashtag may trend. So if you see something, if you go into the trending section on Twitter, and if you see something that's going on and that's trending and that's popular, that means a lot of people are talking about it. So it's okay to click on it and jump in the conversation. Just make sure you put the hashtag in there and start building a rapport with people and you're discussing your views and whatnot on whatever that topic is. So it's just a way to segment a particular topic that's popular online.
Awesome. I love it. And, really, guys, try to think about what Patrice said when it comes to social media and Twitter. Take the time to actually engage in a conversation and please, before you just promote yourself or contact random people, inform yourself about what the person is actually doing. Because to me, it happens many times that even by email, I get emails by people, sometimes artists, sometimes labels, sometimes PR agencies, that I can see from their email that they have probably sent the same email to hundreds of people, because that's what they are asking me for. It's not something that I do. And if they had spent 15 seconds on thejazzpotlet.com, they would have seen what the Jazz Spotlight is about. So guys, make sure to take time to kind of do a little bit of research. And also, though, like we talked in the past about the kind of, hey, check my music tweet, just to send it over and over again. Don't use that. And also, don't use the tweet. I actually get this often. I'm sure, Patrice, you do as well. When there are people that in the tweet don't say anything, they just kind of tag, 10 users. Yes. And I'm really like, okay, I know that it's a technique for getting attention, but I'm like, it's so not working and it really puts you in a bad way because it really looks like a spam.
Right. And it also happens a lot on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Oh, nice pics. Check out my website. Check out my link in my bio. And I'm like, okay, once I look at it, then what?
No, it's like, true.
It's like, what's the point? Well, okay. And who are you? It's just insane. And I think our generation, I don't even say our generation, our society is becoming so lazy to where we don't take our time to actually look in research. It's like if you go on, like you said, if you go onto the website, you can easily see what it is that I do. You can see what it is that I'm looking for. If you just scroll through my pictures or my tweets, you'll see what it is that what something that you can connect with me on. You know, you can actually see what my interests are. So I would rather someone come at me based on something that I tweeted or something that I've stated online than for you to just tweet me a link. Because I may listen to it, I may not. You don't know how busy I am, or you don't know how busy 50 Cent is, or Russell Simmons, all of them. You don't know how busy these people are. So it's always good to just contact them and reach out to them on a more human level.
Amen. I couldn't agree more. No, definitely. And you, so you gave us some tips and, or in terms of tools, you know, some tools we can use to build our fan base. And I want to ask you before, like, we talk more about kind of how to grow a fan base, how to engage the fan base. I want to ask you about connection. We kind of talked about it a bit now, you know, how to connect with people, but I want to ask you especially how to connect with influencers. I know that many artists out there are really looking to connect with influencers to have, you know, those contacts within their network of contacts. And it's something that we really talked a lot on in episode 44 with Courtney Harding. And she really talked about how to connect with influencers, even if you have zero contacts. But I want to ask you, since you're really one that for sure sees a lot of, you know, networks, you like starting, growing, what kind of tips you have in terms of connecting with influencers in the music industry?
I would say the one thing is to really get to know these people. Nowadays, we live in a very, very transparent type of world because of the internet. So I can find out anything about you. You can find out anything about me. I can find out anything about anyone, especially the influencers. We can find out what their dog's name is if we want it. We need to take the time to really get to know these people on a personal level and approach them with that. I mean, if you think about it, the influencers, they are being bombarded with stuff all day, every day, and it's always about some music or whatever it is that they're known for. You know, it would be refreshing to them. It's like, let's put yourself in their shoes. Wouldn't it be refreshing if someone came to them and asked them, you know, about their dog, especially if they tweeted about their dog yesterday? Wouldn't it be refreshing for someone to come to you and approach you on something that's personal versus something that they're known for? So I say, when you want to really connect with these people, take the time in getting to know them and approach them that way. I would say that's number one. Be sure to hang out where they hang out. You know, if there's some sort of conference going on, go to it, network with them. And again, use that same tip of connecting with them on a personal level and just making sure that you're out and about and people see you and become familiar with who you are. So if they're hosting some sort of event, make sure that you attend, as well as be someone that frequents their information, their blog or sharing their blog or their whatever it is that they're put out. You know, if they have a book that they just launched, buy the book and then tweet about it. I've contacted and have built relationships with a lot of influential people just by doing that alone, just reading their book and then tweeting out little quotes and stuff that I'm highlighting and taking notes on. I'll snap a picture of it and then I'll share it on Twitter or Instagram. And, you know, these people, they start following me. They start communicating with me because they see that I'm showing interest in what it is that they do. Not only that, but I also went in my pocket and pulled up my credit card and paid for their product. So we have to, we can't be so selfish with things. We have to really take the time and connect with these people on those levels.
I love it. And I think it's great tips. And, you know, guys, it's not that necessarily you have to take out your credit cards, but seriously, I think it's a great example that you made. And also, you know, to kind of, you guys, as Patrice said, you should do two things. The first one is put yourself in their shoes. So imagine how many emails, tweets, whatever they get. So you can imagine how many those are. And second, just think about, well, Patrice talked about, you know, something personal about them that you can kind of start to talk about. And that's a great tip. But I would also say to think about in general, to provide value. And, you know, they will notice who, you know, there are many, many people that tweet them, send out tweets, tagging them, but they will see that you are really interested in connecting with them, and they will return the favor. And that's, I actually have done the same thing as you, where, you know, I saw, for example, someone that I follow, an influencer that, let's say, he had a new book coming out. I just started to share links about the book or quotes, like in your case, if I bought the book, or it could be, you know, a new CD release. That's actually a strategy I've used once with a musician. I'm not gonna make her name, but she had a new album coming out, and I noticed because like someone retweeted it, so I saw it through their retweet. I wasn't following her, and she wasn't following me, but I saw that you know she was kind of mentioning important jazz websites, publications about her new CD. So the strategy I used was really simple. I just took the link of the that she was sharing, and I share it with a tweet. Result, she started to follow me. I started to follow her. We are connected on Twitter. So that's, you know, guys, that's as easy as it gets. It's not that you have to do crazy things. Sometimes, you know, it really, with the simple things, as long as you do them because you really want to connect and not just because you just want to promote your music. So That's something to think about. I love it. Loving this episode, Patrice. I'm really loving it. And let's talk a little bit more about engagement. Engagement is a real keyword when we talk about fan bases, building a fan base, growing a fan base. So do you have any tips for the listeners for, first of all, maybe for offline engagement? So, for example, how can they use, let's say, their gigs or music conferences or festivals to grow the fan, actually to both grow the fan base and to grow the engagement of the fan base?
Yeah, I would say one thing to do is to always have material on you at all times, because you never know who you may run into. Don't just bring it with you if you go to a festival or a music conference. You can be in line at the grocery store, and you run into someone and you start engaging with them in some sort of small talk about whatever gossip that's going on, or that's in the gossip magazine rack that's in the checkout line. You never know. So always have some sort of material on you, whether it's a CD, a promotional CD, or some sort of business card or download card. That way you can pass it off to them. And I think a lot of people fail to do that is because they just don't think about it. Even if I go to the gym, I still have my card on me, even though I have all my stuff locked up in my locker. I may have my business card in my shoe or something. Or I mean, seriously, because you just never know. I could be, you know, on the treadmill next to someone that could help me, or I can help them. And when it comes to music, and if you're an artist, if you think about it, everybody listens to music. Everybody does. I don't care what anyone says. We all hear music at some point in our lives, and there's always something that we grasp from that. So it's very important to, when you're trying to engage and build relationships offline, is to not be afraid to spark up conversations with people, just like you would do online. You want to do that offline, which is even better. And then make sure you have your information on hand. There's an artist now who is doing a phenomenal job at that. Is it okay if I mention her?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, please do.
And this is one thing that really attracted me to her. Her name is Ramona Montañez, and she is amazing at going out. I mean, she went to the Million March in New York. And she went and was connecting with people there. She was there for the cause. But as she was talking to people, she also had her cards with her and said, hey, I do music. You know, I enjoy talking to you. I would love to stay in contact. Here, check out my music and connect with me online. I mean, you can't get any easier than that. I mean, we when I was in New York, we had lunch. And there was a police officer that came in. They sparked the conversation, and she slid her card and said, hey, I do music. My name's Ramona. Here you go. It's just amazing to see her do that. So these artists nowadays, it's like we're losing that whole rapport and that whole making small talk and conversation. It's kind of, we're becoming more introverted than extroverted. And I'm just saying that, you know, we need to step out of ourselves and not be afraid to connect with these people. And Ramona, you can find her online at ramonaspot.com. That's two S's, Ramona Spot. And it's like I would like to see more people doing that instead of just handing me their card or their CD. You know, talk to me, get to know me. Let's have a small conversation. And then if based on that, you've pretty much opened the door for me to listen to your stuff. You've broke that ice to where I'll be more prone to listen to your stuff when I get in the car or when I get home.
Loving it. And great example what Ramona does. And hey, Ramona, in case you're listening, a big shout out to you that, you know, you have impressed Patrice. And I'm sure many of the listeners are going to check out what you do and are going to definitely follow you. And I want to add to what you just told us, because I think it's very important to think that, you know, no matter where you are and what you're doing, you know, some doors may open for in terms of opportunities. So it's always good to be prepared. And there is something I really want to share with you that goes really in this direction. And it's an app in particular. There are a couple of apps that I mentioned in a blog post that you will find in the show notes where I talked about how you can grow your email list at your gigs. And I mentioned a couple of apps for the smartphones, obviously. And one of those is Prospect Snap. And it's pretty cool because what it does is very simple. It's if you don't have business cards, for example, it's the perfect way to go. Or even if you do have business cards and you want to grow your email list, this is a great way. When you're at music conferences or festivals or even, you know, wherever you are and you start to talk with people and you break the ice and, you know, you kind of want to continue the conversation, what you can do with Prospect Snap, you open the app, the person just puts his or her name and email and they sign up for your newsletter. So that's very quick. And you can say, you know, so that I have your email, I can follow up. So it's basically like you would ask them for their email, but, you know, instead of kind of just asking for their email, you maybe just tell them, yeah, can you please give me your type your email and your name? Well, the name, obviously, you know it by then. But anyways, can you type in your email so that we can keep in touch? And not only you will keep in touch, but you will also grow your email list. So Prospect Snap is definitely something to check out. And also, I know that since I use AWeber, they also launched a mobile app. So there are a few apps, and again, you will find them in the show notes. I will mention the blog post I've written some time ago where I talk about this. So that's something that can definitely help you guys. So Patrice, again, thank you for mentioning the great example you gave out and for, you know, stressing the importance of always being prepared to kind of promote oneself or have a business card at hand or, you know, in this case, an app. That's great.
Right now, does Prospect Snap connect with other email lists like your MailChimp and Constant Contact?
Yeah. At least with the most common ones. So the ones you mentioned, yeah, it definitely should. The only thing, guys, I'm sorry, I don't remember if it's only for iPhone or for Android, but I can check the post that I've written because I talk about this more, guys, and you will find more information there, or simply, you know, click the link in the show notes to go to Prospect Snap and then you see there. And let's talk for a moment, Patrice, about the kind of how to grow a fan base. So now we've talked about how to kind of the before the process of building a fan base. So what to think about, how to try to identify a target audience. You talked about, you mentioned some tools for promoting oneself. You talked about how to connect with the influencers. You talked about, you know, how to always be ready to engage with other people and, you know, be ready to promote yourself. We talked about how not to be spammy, which is really important. And in terms of kind of growth of a fan base, do you have any tips for the listeners that, you know, are thinking like, okay, I want to kind of take my fan base to the next level. I want to grow it. What should they do?
I would say not only to continue to engage with them, never stop doing that, but be consistent, consistently put out good content, good information, good music, good whatever it is that you do, good work per se, as well as not being afraid to ask them to share it. I think we get so caught up in technology. We just look for technology and all these tricks and cool tips to do. It's just just simply ask. Say, hey, if you like my music, share it. It's okay to just share my stuff, you know, hit the share button, and also offer some sort of incentive. Contests are really good too. Give people a reason to share the stuff, not only because, you know, they like it, but maybe offer them a new release of something, an early release of some sort of song that you're working on, or a signed copy of some sort of merch item that's just exclusive for this particular contest, just to continue to give them an incentive to share that stuff. So definitely contests, asking them, as well as performing. Don't be afraid to join different showcases, or set up even a small tour within your area or the surrounding area. That's something that me and my artists are working on now. So just making sure that you continue to get those emails and just letting them know that it's okay to share my stuff. I have a show, bring two friends, and maybe the third one gets in free or something like that, you know, just so that way you can continue to have your stuff being introduced to new people at all times.
I love it. And, you know, one can really see that you really work on the marketing strategy, because the last example you mentioned, that, you know, kind of three people come and two comes in for free, for example, it's a great tip. And guys, really, I told you that, you know, the guest, so Patrice, was going to be incredible. And man, she has provided so much value to this episode. And guys, Patrice has also written a great blog post that you will find also in the show notes, where she talked more about, you know, how to build a fan base. So some of the things we talked about and more, you will find it in her post there. You find it in the show notes, and obviously it's on the Baseline group. And Patrice, if you were to kind of give one final tip for the listeners, so we have talked about so many great things in terms of building and growing a fan base, how to engage the fans. Is there some final thing that, you know, if the audience were to take one final takeaway, what would that be?
To build your team. Don't be afraid if you have to hire someone to help you, or don't be afraid to, as well as not being afraid to trust someone to help you with everything, because you can't build a fan base. You can't make your music into a business by yourself.
Love it.
Yeah. So I would say that would be my last tip, is just to really be open to having people help you and making sure that they're passionate about your brand and what it is that you do just as much as you are, because you don't want to carry any dead weight. So you don't want to carry any dead weight. So definitely not be afraid to build a team. And even if you have to hire someone to help you, it's okay, because it's for a purpose, and it's an investment that will definitely pay itself off in the long run.
Love it. Patrice, thank you so much for being here. And guys, you know, we talked about the Baseline Group at thebaselinegroup.com. Follow it on Twitter at thebaselinegrp. And make sure to follow Patrice and give her a shout out on Twitter at Patrice K. Cockley. Again, Patrice, thank you so much for being here and, you know, telling us more about the great things you're doing with the Baseline Group, and for sharing some great tips on how to build and grow a fan base.
Thank you, Jan. I greatly appreciate the invite. This was fun, and you're doing great things at the Jazz Spotlight. I love it. So I greatly appreciate your time, as well as this interview here. Thank you so much.
Wow, my pleasure. Thank you so much for the compliments and for stopping by. All righty, we are back. Patrice, thank you so much for being here on the podcast, for your great contribution to the Jazz Spotlight podcast, and for your valuable advice on how to build a fan base. So guys, as I said in the intro, this episode was about building a fan base, and Thursday's episode is going to be about fan engagement. So with this episode, we learn more about how to build a fan base, kind of what to think about before building a fan base, how to grow it. And on Thursday, we're going to talk about the engagement. So how can we, once we have built a fan base, what can we do to keep it engaged? Are there some tools we can use? Are there some strategies that we can put in place? We're going to hear more about all those things and much, much more on Thursday. I'm Yanni Lunga, and thank you so very much for being here with me, for making me part of your day. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Jazz Spotlight podcast, and you will tune back in on Thursday. Have a great day. Take care.